Hello, I am Amanda Wacker.
Hola, I am Lanice Castro.
Sawadee ka, I'm Asama Lekbua.
Namaste, I'm Saroj Gorkanti.
And we are the Triplicates. Welcome to the 9th of many episodes of the Triplicate Podcast. We are 3 first-generation women of color currently in our first year of our PhD program at the University of California, San Diego.
Last episode, we heard from Sameda about her experience choosing a lab, and she gave us a little bit of advice to keep in mind when we make a similar decision at the end of our rotations.
And this week, we have another guest on our show.
Yes, we have my wonderful peer mentor, Saroj. I'm so happy you can join us to drop some knowledge on us and all our listeners about choosing a thesis lab, and more specifically about being co-mentored.
Yes, welcome to the show, Saroj.
Hi, guys. Oh, my God. This is so exciting. I'm so excited to be here. My name is Saroj Gorkanti. I am a second-year PhD student at UCSD. I am co-mentored. I am in the Neil lab, Sonia Neil's lab at UCSD, and also in Cressida Madigan's lab. They both do very different things, but I have figured out a way to bridge them together. Sonia studies rhomboid proteases, which are a very small but very cool family of proteases that actually cleave stuff inside cell membranes. And Cressida studies bacterial infections of the nervous system. And I can talk a little bit more about my project if you want. Or it could be something I mentioned later because it did help me make my decision to
let's build into that. Start from the beginning. You're a fresh tailed, I don't know what there's something about bunny eyes.
Bright-eyed.
Bunny tailed. Yeah.
I think it's bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yes. That is correct. You know, you're a first-year PhD student. You're doing rotations. Like, how did you pick your rotation labs? How did we get to, like, okay, I like this lab. How do we bridge that? Like, where were we? How, 2 years ago, I guess?
Yeah. Oh, God. I guess 2.5 now. Oh, this is weird. Yeah, so I guess, well, I'll talk a little bit about, like, what it took for me to, like, even, like, get to UCSD. So my first experience in science was actually my senior year of high school. I went to a boarding school that I was very lucky to have the privilege of being able to work in a lab that was actually part of the school, and basically do my own independent science project as a senior. That research project was about wound healing, and it's something that has stuck with me ever since. And that made me realize I really wanted to be a scientist. And when I got to college, that's like, okay, I can like sort of like navigate my way through that. But then I joined an evolutionary biology lab in college, and I realized that was not what I wanted to study. And then I joined a cancer lab after college, but before grad school, because I wanted to get the experience. And while I learned a lot, I also did not like studying cancer. So I knew areas that I did not want. I was like, okay, I can check those two fields out of my like mind. I was never really a big neuro person. So that was also kind of, I'm like just checking things off that I don't want to do. But I went into grad school pretty much open to anything that I thought was cool. And that's kind of how I picked my rotations. The summer before I started the program, I know that they say, like, I'm sure you guys got that email that was like, don't email anyone until we say you can email someone.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, but like, I don't care. So I ended up emailing Sonia So I met Sonia during recruitment, during the faculty dinners, actually. I didn't even know she had like really been part of the department, because I think when I was like making my list of schools to apply to, I didn't see her name or Cressida's name. They might have been there and I just glossed over it, but I met both of them.
They're super new too, right?
Yeah, they're both young PIs, both in, I guess they're third? Yeah, I guess third year of being faculty members. So young PIs. But I had met them at a faculty dinner. We like sat down next to each other eating Indian food and talking. And they were both just really nice. And when they were telling me about their research, I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. They were partially the reason I ended up coming here, because I just had such a great experience and they were a part of it. So I emailed Sonia first and she was like, yeah, totally, like, totally, you can rotate with me, but we're going to have to make it second rotation because I literally just had a baby. And I was like, oh my God, congrats. What's his sign? And she was like, and I was like, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. So I had my second rotation lined up. I came to UCSD. I had tried to go through lists of who to talk to. I ended up talking to someone who would eventually become my fourth rotation. And he was someone that I like peripherally knew because he used to work at NYU, which is where I went for undergrad. And so I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I got to retreat, which I know you guys have unfortunately not been able to experience the wonders of the UCSD biology retreat, but it's really fun. And I met I met both the girls who work in the Madigan lab and some of the people who work in Janelle Ayer's lab at the Salk, who I went on her page and I thought the stuff she was doing was really interesting, but I didn't really know who to talk to. So that is kind of the best part of retreat, is you can sort of like go and meet people, and then like a week later you do your rotation with those people. And that's kind of what happened to me. So yeah, I set up my rotation during retreat, and like a week later I was there. I was at Salk. It was great. And then I did my rotation with Sonia, and then having gotten to know the girls from retreat, I set up Cresta's rotation third. And then I did my fourth rotation with Mike Perry. And I feel...
What? Sorry, dude. I'm in that space.
I love Mike Perry.
Oh, I know.
You mentioned him on your show, too. Like, on Sunday.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. I was... So, it's like weird to say, but I feel like I had four really great rotations, and that was like, by the end I was like, oh my God, this is like, who am I going to choose? Like, I have so many options.
Bachelor.
Were they all like fighting for you?
No. So I guess the first thing I'll say is that I went in and out of each rotation, like when I would have like my first meeting to be like, okay, I'm gonna do a rotation, and my like, so how did I do during the rotation meeting? I asked them both times, like, if I were to join, would you have space for me, / like, would it be a possibility? And every lab was like, yes, it is a possibility, without like really showing favoritism or whatever. Of the four labs, Janelle is pretty established and her lab has been pretty big. So she said that it is a possibility, but like, let's like regroup after I finish the fourth one. And then Sonia, Cressida, and Mike were all very young PIs and their labs were pretty small. So it was pretty like, I wasn't worried about not being able to find a lab, I guess. And then I think that by the by the time choosing labs came around, our cohort was unique in that we're a small cohort. There's about 27 of us. Three people are EBE. I want to say like five or six were direct admit. And then another like six were like very neuro heavy people. So I didn't overlap them. So that left like what, 10 people that I needed to like sort of overlap with, but I ended up overlapping with like two really. Yeah. And they were both my friends. Yeah. And then this is like the awkward thing that sometimes happens during picking your lab.
Lanisa's face.
Sometimes you and your friends really want to work in the same lab and then it gets weird, but it's like a night. It's like, it's not a bad weird unless you like really don't like the person. Mm. So me and my two other friends had asked Sonia if we could officially join the lab around the same time. I think we had all talked about like sort of sending our like requests at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then I had also had meetings with Cressida to sort of like talk about like a backup plan. And mm-hmm. the reason why I was interested in both is because while I was in Sonia's lab, I found this paper that talked about how one of the rhomboids that she's really interested in figuring out their functional relevance appears to play a role in wound healing, but it's literally just the one paper. And there isn't a lot of like, no one really did a follow-up on it. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. Like, what do you like? Do you think that's like a project? And she was like, yeah, sure. That sounds fun. And then I did a little more research and I was like, oh, the reason why no one's been able to really nail down why it's happening is because these rhomboids are so heavily conserved that if you knock it out in mammals, they kind of die in utero. So it's hard to like actually see what's going on. Mm-hmm. But then Sonia had already kind of considered this and was like, oh, but if we knock it out in zebrafish, at least we can see what's happening. And that's mm-hmm. what Cressida does. She uses zebrafish to study neurological infections. So I was like, oh, so like that's sort of where this like brewing of a co-mentoring idea came about. Mm-hmm. But it's just a weird time. I'm sure that you guys know about how weird it is. I know some of you guys have joined labs. It's very exciting. And then some people are doing fifth rotations, which is also super exciting. Oh, I planned a fifth rotation, mm-hmm. even though I kind of thought I was going to join a lab already, mm-hmm. just to have like a backup. Mm-hmm. And it was with someone who I knew I wasn't going to join their lab. And I told them that. I was like, I think I just want to join, or not join. I want to rotate just for the experience and to learn a little more zebrafish techniques. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh yeah, that sounds good. Like just, you know, when it comes around, let me know, we'll figure something out. Mm-hmm. But then a little something called the pandemic arrived and
the panini press.
everything kind of was like put on pause. My fourth rotation kind of got cut short the last week. And we were just all kind of like left hanging. And during that time, I think like my anxiety was so high. I was like, oh my God, I need like Sonia and Cressida to let me know what's going on. So Sonia was going to let me know in a couple of weeks, but I had the fifth one lined up just in case.
Oh, dang. But I also
knew that there were two other people who could possibly get a spot over me. And then Sonia let me know that she chose me, which that is also a nice feeling to be like chosen. But she had also told me that before she before she had like officially let me know, she was like, even if I don't pick you, like me and Cressida will figure out a way to keep you on the floor. So I was like, oh, I was like, I'll have a home. I'll have a happy home.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was very lucky, but my situation was also very rare. Cause I mm-hmm. think that some people just have those rotations where it just doesn't, you just don't vibe right. Sometimes the lab that you really want to join just doesn't end up picking you and you kind of have to like regroup. Mm-hmm. But I think that, I just think I was really lucky in that sense. Mm-hmm. That was my journey to joining. I will say, technically on paper, I think I'm only part of Sonia's lab, but in every other aspect of being co-mentored, I'm definitely part of both labs.
Okay, which is nice. So what makes the difference between like, okay, I'm being co-mentored versus I am working on a collaboration with another lab?
So I think the difference is with being co-mentored, I go to all the lab meetings. So I go to lab meetings for Sonia and Cressida. I think depending on what the professor expects of their students, like Sonia likes to have one-on-one meetings every week. Cressida doesn't really, like I can ask for a one-on-one meeting, but it's not required. And I think that I sort of have free use of both area, like both lab areas. Mm-hmm. I have a desk in Sonia's side and I have a desk on Cressida's side. So that's nice.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, their techniques do not overlap a lot. So it's better to just keep them separate because I don't want the yeast to like touch the fish, make some weird, you know, it's not. It's not good for science. So I think in that sense, it's different because in terms of a collaboration, you would most likely have a contact person, whether it's the PI or someone who's in charge of that other project, and you're in constant contact with that person, but the project isn't really your own. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think my project right now is equally in both labs, interests, and I guess protocols or techniques.
And you're the only one working on this project.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that?
I may get an undergrad. So that's exciting. I know.
A bump undergrad?
I think I can make her a bump undergrad.
Okay.
She qualifies, but I need to I'm talking to Cressida and Sonia this week to figure out, because I've never had an undergrad. Okay. And I feel like I was a really great science undergrad.
Okay. Like, yes, of course. Of course.
And so I'm like, I want to be a good mentor, but I don't know how. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Thank you.
A learning experience.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I love that you're asking how to be a good mentor, because too many people in that position does not ask, and it's not great for everyone.
Yes, I think that it like ask questions. Yeah, like ask questions of people who you know are good mentors, and luckily, everyone in both labs are great mentors. Also, both labs are mostly women, which I feel like I really manifested that girls and gays like life for myself. It just happened. So
yeah.
Sorry, what was your question, Amanda? I feel like I got psyched.
Collaboration versus co-mentor, because you said on paper you're just in one lab, but like in every other aspect. So just curious what all the other aspects were. I think some students are thinking about, you know, collaborating or being co-mentored because they're like, oh, I really like this lab aspect and I really like aspects of this lab, let's just put them together. And sometimes that works, but sometimes it takes a little bit more finesse, or it's just not I don't know, it seems a little bit scary to kind of navigate that situation when you're like, there's no precedent set. Like, you're the first person working on that project. There's no preliminary data. There's no research done already in the labs. There's nothing to like stand your foot on to get up. So I think it's just, it's great to kind of understand that process a little bit more.
Yes. I think that some of the things that benefit me in terms of how my co-mentorship, it works so well, is one, Sonia and Cressida are friends. They have their Tata Floor group chat with the other PIs. It's very cute.
Sorry, I made that a face.
I know, I'm sorry.
This is how everyone knows our tea, though.
The other good thing, so both of the labs are literally right next to each other, mm-hmm. which makes life a lot easier. I think that with a lot of people who are co-mentored, it can be harder to do both just because like the physical locations of the labs mm-hmm. makes it harder. It's easier just to be in one place and then kind of reach out when you need help or use a specific piece of equipment.
So I guess a question before you start working in both labs, there is this time where you're like, hi, I want to be co-mentor. Do you mean like, that's the big question. Asking to join a lab is already like, ooh, like how do you go about being like, hey, I want to join both your labs? And like, when do you do it? What's the best way?
You know, I don't know if there's ever a best way. So asking Sonia was easy because Sonia kind of is the type of person that just puts you at ease really mm-hmm. easily. And I think Cressida is also like that. But I think until I was able to formulate this project, the writing class that you guys are going to take in the next quarter really helped me flesh out the ideas of like how to go about this project. And I think until I sort of wrote it out in paper and then used diagrams to illustrate it, it was harder to understand. But once I did, Cressida was more on board. She was always on board, but I guess like tangible, you know, creating tangible goals for yourself. So I think that, I don't know if there is a great, there's no like list I can be, there's no script I can give you, I guess, to ask someone. But I will say that I think it's as simple as you can join one lab and then just be in contact with another lab that you either rotated in, or it's like a new lab that you just want to reach out and see if they're down to do something. Mm-hmm. And then that project can evolve to a point where you end up being co-mentored without it. Like that can even, I feel like that kind of thing can even happen like up till your fourth year. And that's also the good thing about committee. Like when you start selecting people for your committees, like you basically have three slots, one of which will be your PI, but the other two can just be like either people who are working with you or people you want advice from. And that's like an easy way to be like, you're on my committee, so I, like, you have asked me to annoy you. Like,
you, yes, you have, a, have given permission. Me that.
Yes. So, yeah.
So, just sum things up. Would it be, like, keep relationships with people that you may or may not want to collaborate, and then, or be co-mentored? And maybe just think long and hard about a project proposal. Would you suggest those two things?
I would definitely suggest those two things. I think you can also just ask either of those people if they have any ideas for a collaboration. Mm-hmm. I think people, you know, everyone kind of has, sorry. Everyone kind of has stuff in their heads all the time of things mm-hmm. that they can do. And you kind of just have to grasp it and be like, I'm going, like, I would say that if there is a project that either you come up with or was mentioned briefly, and you just latch onto it and say, I'm going to do this, just let me do this, things will happen. But that also means that both of the PIs kind of have to be a little more flexible with you, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another PI to have on a meeting. Another schedule. To have to work around.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot of work. Before this quarter, basically my entire Monday was meetings between both labs from 10 till 5. So I'm just not going to go into lab. Like, my Mondays are just my meeting days. That's okay.
Yeah.
But I think that I do end up getting, I think I end up getting sort of the best of both worlds, despite having that.
Of course, I think, you deserve.
Aw, thanks. But I think that, so Sonia's meetings are a little more relaxed and less structured and are more like a quick update that feels more like, you know, here are my results. They're like not finalized at all. They were like very, very rough. And then I get feedback from the lab about like, oh, like what can I do with this going forward? With Cressida's lab, we do more formal lab meetings, and that helps me organize all the results that I've made, make sure like all my statistics and stuff are good, like, or like make sure it looks good, has a flow to all of that. And I think that developing both of those skills at the same time is more beneficial in the long run, even though it's kind of hard work right now. But I've been enjoying it, and it also helps that a lot of my really good friends are in both labs. So yeah, so that is a plus. Yes.
Okay, there must be like a minus, because
oh.
I know your life is perfect and your scientific journey has been incredible, but let's entertain a possibility where you pull between two labs, whether it's the mentor wanting to prioritize different things, or maybe it's you or whatever. I've heard people talking about being in two labs as like having two divorced parents, or it's fine, it's normal, or like just having like two sources. How do you balance that? Because it's not always going to be like smooth sailing.
Yes. I feel like the one downside is that I do feel often, even though I've been reassured that I shouldn't, is just having anxiety for getting stuff done, and then having a lot of deadlines you have to hit. Because I do feel like, you know, I have my weekly meeting with Sonia, I have both lab meetings, sometimes I'll have my meetings with Cressida, and it's a lot of opportunities to like show what you have. But then if things either don't work, a big thing for me is that because of the pandemic, having it happen your second year really sucked, because I feel like your second year is kind of the year you get to experiment. You just learn how to do different assays, and it's kind of the most fun year because it's not really expected that you get a lot done. You kind of like sow the seeds of getting stuff going, but then, you know, a lot of that just takes time to grow. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the pandemic really took that away for me, because not knowing, you know, when can I go into lab? How can I like schedule things so I don't overlap with people? You know, we want to keep the social distancing, all of that. So I feel like I'm only just now starting to get deeper into my project. Mm-hmm. And it's more of a self-imposed disappointment on myself, but I know that like that is something that it's a downside more on like my own personal anxiety and then having to possibly disappoint two people as opposed to like just your one main person.
Yeah.
But Sonia and Cressida are very good mentors and they understand that. I will say that I think that's a really big benefit of having a young PI is I think they get it in a way that I don't know if older PIs can relate to all the stresses of the world right now. I think it's just things are different than their experience in grad school. And then I think that if you're the type of person that does not like meetings, then do not be co-mentor because it is a lot of meetings.
I'm trying to think of a type of person who likes meetings. Who could that
be? You know, I think like being friends with Sonia and Cressida helps our meetings like not be awkward, you know?
Yeah. There's a vibe.
I'm like, so we like talk, you know, we like talk about our lives for like a solid 15 minutes. Then we do science. Me and Sonia talk about Bravo for the last 10 minutes of all of our meetings, just like a recap of all the shows. And yeah, I think that definitely helps with taking out the awkward bits of that. Yeah. But yeah, I also understand that I am very young in my grad school experience, and I'm sure that there will be challenges with being co-mentored that I just don't foresee right now. But I don't know. I can come back on the podcast to let you know in a year or something.
Oh, yes, we would love an update.
That would be nice.
Yes. Never thought of that. Triplicates Pod alumna.
Oh my God. Oh. Yes.
Oh. I'm going to cry.
I'll make the shirts. wait, okay. I actually have a question. I know you, but I don't think we ever talked about, like, what do you want to do after? I know it's a very tough question, but what do you want to do after grad school? Like, how is this helping you prepare for your, like, long-term career goals?
Yeah, so I think that ever since I started research, I've kind of always had, I want to stay in academia. I think I've decided that my goal is to eventually be a tenured professor with my own lab. Mm-hmm. I think that, yes, exactly. I know that it's going to be like kind of a hard road in terms of money, but I that's the path I've chosen. And so, you know, the wound healing thing has always been something that's been really cool to me. And now that I sort of have like my own unique spin on it with like the molecular stuff in a model organism that not a lot of people use, I feel like I've sort of like found my niche and I'd like to like keep going in that. So ideally I'd get my PhD. I think I would like to postdoc once for like 2 or 3 years and then hopefully get a faculty position. But we will see what that journey is like, because I know that everyone's journey is very different. Mm-hmm. But talking about those goals with Sonia and Cressida, they've actually geared a lot of the stuff that they do to include me just so that I can understand what's going on, I feel like.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to write a grant really until this past year when I applied for one. Mm-hmm. And I think that in itself was like, oh, that's like something I can do now. That's pretty cool. So I think that grad school is a weird time because you always see people and you're like, oh, like it's like adult scientists working, like that's really cool. And then you're here and then you're like, oh my God, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
How did that happen? Did they make a mistake?
No.
It feels weird. No. But yes, for anyone who is also determined to go down that path. What, like, you're doing it for a reason. So, like, you mm-hmm. you belong there. And yeah, everybody deals with imposter syndrome. So, you know, yeah, you take the wins and the losses, and you just.
I do want to say, you is intelligent. You is brave. You is amazing. I'm so excited for, like, I didn't. Like Amanda, I didn't know that that was kind of the track you wanted to go down, even though we've had so many conversations. So I'm like so excited to see you grow.
I know. I want it to be like a safe haven for the girls and gays and anyone in between who wants to do science. Because, you know, I don't want to say it, but we're better.
Yeah, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it with my whole chest.
I mean, yeah.
That makes me extra happy, too, that, like Asama mentioned, you're asking, how do I be a good mentor? Because, once again, these are questions that maybe not everyone on a 10-year track has asked before. And that's the tea.
Yeah.
That is tea.
I do think that one good thing is, I think, at least at UCSD and hopefully at other institutions, they kind of look at that more now.
Thank you so much for walking us through this whole process. Choosing a lab is a big decision to begin with. So advice on establishing a co-mentorship on top of that is something that first years and prospective grad students will really appreciate. So thank you, Saroj.
So let's take a little break to hear from our sponsors before closing out the show.
Santa Factory is a Black-owned skin and body care line.
Created by a biochemistry college graduate who loves taking an extra step into the world of luxury self-care at home.
They sell whipped body scrubs that are natural and vegan-friendly while also providing your skin with a glow.
So if you're coming home from a long day of meetings or from being stuck in the lab, when you add Sainted Factory products to your wind-down routine, you'll know your skin is being spoiled with the richest ingredients. You can follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Sainted Factory and purchase at saintedfactory.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Before we say goodbye to Saroj, I would love to hear some final advice you would give someone in our position.
If you have a lot of options for labs that you would join, I think, honestly, go with the place that will sort of let you do what you want, mm-hmm. Versus a place that kind of has a project waiting for you. Mm-hmm. I know that that advice might not apply to everyone, mm-hmm. but I think for doing cool science, it feels better when you're the one who's like, I came up with this idea.
Yeah, that is what do they say, like, intrinsic motivation is like the best motivator. Like,
yes,
you want to actually do it versus being told to do something.
Totally.
Yeah. Great. Thank you so much for that. And we'll round out the show. Let's do some observations, run some stats on our data. Asama, would you like to take it away?
Sure. Our question this week is, who's ready for spring quarter?
Let me tell you. That first class today, I was not prepared. I was like,
first class was a lot.
I was in a breakout room like four times.
It was a lot of breakout rooms. And then they were like, oh, make sure you offer to speak up. Like, they put us in breakout rooms and then we have to go back to the main room and like say what we talked about. And they were like, oh, make sure you offer to speak up for the groups because that's how we tell you participated. And I'm like, this seems like a trash way to measure participation. If we only can, there's like, we got switched to two different breakout rooms. So that's like 10 people I was with. And the only like four people from those 10 people would have spoken. So like, what are the grades of the other six people?
Mm-hmm. Don't like that.
Yes.
Me either. So I'm going to have to say no, but I better get ready because buckle up. We're on for a ride. But yeah. Amanda.
Amanda, that was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Amanda?
I'm ready for a spring quarter barely. Like, I'm ready to do rotations, not ready to do classes. Biostats seems like it's going to be a monster. And, like, being in a new lab, it's kind of like, oh, I have to do – it's like I have to do a lot of extra work being in a new lab. It's not just like, oh, there's everything waiting for me when I walk in. So I'm like, oh, cool. I have to do a lot of planning and do 12 to 16 hours of homework every week.
Asama, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think the first Biostats lecture was kind of like, what is happening? Because one of the things on the slides was like Dante's Inferno painting, oh, where the professor calls the class purgatory. And we were like,
exactly. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but lab-wise, I think I'm excited to start thinking about the long haul and, you know, get started on this darn thing.
Yes, queen. Yeah.
What about you, Saroj, since you're also...
I am excited for spring, and let me tell you why. So I feel like the past couple of quarters, I've been doing a lot more... classes and writing and non-research related things, including recruitment, which that really traumatized me this year. So I Lanice can relate.
Crawls
so,
into a hole.
Yeah. So I am ready for the spring because I only have to take one class and basically the rest of the time I have free to like actually focus on research for once. Yeah, so I am excited.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. technically that's 75% of PhD students are excited / ready for spring quarter. Maybe I'll learn how to do these statistical tests a little bit more advanced.
I was
going to
say.
That's exactly what I was asking to make a joke about it.
soon you'll be like, oh, 75%. That's like barely significant.
Yeah, p-value greater than 0.05.
Like. Today, if the p-value is 0.05, what does that mean? Anyway, it's okay. We're in grad school. We're here to learn.
I just look at the stars.
Yeah. Maybe this is why biostats is not required.
Yeah.
Apparently an ethics class is also required.
My God.
Another conversation.
I can let you guys know about that starting next week.
Oh, is that the class you're taking?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very weird because they're like, you have to sign up for it on like Eventbrite, and then they give you a code to sign up for it on WebRag, and then and they have different sections. So I'm in like section 5, and all the people I've talked to are like, oh, I'm in this other section. And I'm like, okay, I hope this section isn't just me on Tuesday mornings.
Well, I'm glad the requirement.
Yeah, I do think it is good to have it.
And if there's anything you would like to share with us, please email us. We love signing off with best triplicates.
Yes. So thank much you. Serotonin. Okay, so you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at triplicatespod, and you can email us at, let's do this slowly, triplicatespod@gmail.com. Once again, at triplicatespod@gmail.com. If you like us, support us on patreon.com/triplicatespod.
And Saroj, is there anything you would like to highlight today?
Yes. So it's weird saying the president, but I guess I'm the president of grad OSTEM at UCSD. It is a organization designed to provide opportunities and support for anyone who identifies within the LGBTQIA+ community in STEM at UCSD, who is a grad student. We're starting our events soon. So if you or anyone you know might be interested in coming to our events, please go to ostem.ucsd.edu and go and click the grad page. And if you sign up for the newsletter on that website, you will see all the grad events as well. So keep up with that. And you can follow me at the Rom Babe on Twitter. That is at the R-H-O-M Babe on Twitter.
And with that,
obrigada, ciao.
Adios y gracias.
Kapun ka. Bye.
Peace out, Girl Scout.